Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, the fourth day of Menachem Av, Tovshin Pei Dalad. We start a new Seder and a new Masechta tonight, today, and that is Masechta Baba Kamma, the first of the Seder Nezikin, the order of damages. Baba Kamma, Baba Metzia, and Baba Mbasra originally were one huge Masechta of 30 chapters. Baba means gate. Baba Kamma were the first gate, had 10 chapters, Baba Metzia 10, and Baba Basra as well. Later on, it became split into three different Masechtas, and we are starting Masechta of Baba Kamma. In Parsha Mishpatim, the Torah tells us that a person is chayv to pay for damages caused both by his body, himself, or by his property. There are three types of mazikim that the Torah talks about that are chayv for damages: shoir, boir, and esh, damages caused by one's ox or one's pit or one's fire. The shoir itself breaks up into three categories: karen, shein, and regel. Karen, if it galls, does something viciously, intention to damage. Shein is caused by eating, damages with its teeth, and regel, by trampling on things. These three are included in shoir, and or discussed by the Torah under shoir. Then you have boir, caused by a pit, and then you have esh. And then you have, of course, the person who himself causes damage. In our first Mishnah, which begins with the words arba avis nezikim, there is a debate in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel as to which of the damages are our Mishnah talking about. According to Rav, the Mishnah is talking about all the damages, all the possibilities: man, animal, beast, and pit, and fire. He learns that it's covered all of them. When it says the Mishnah shor, for example, it means all three: karen, shen, and regel. When it says boir, it means pit. When it says amava, it's the person causing damage, or haver is a fire. But Shmuel learns differently. Shmuel learns arba avos nezikim. Masechta Baba Kamma, Perek Rishon, Mishnah Aleph. There are four classifications. There are four headers of damages. What are the four head groups of damages? Nezikim, Shashoir, V'haboir, V'hamave, V'hever. Damages caused by one's ox, which according to Shmuel only refers to damages of trampling, regel, caused by one's animal trampling over someone else's field, vegetation. Haboir, that refers to a pit. Someone dug a pit in the public area and then causes damage. Hamave, that refers to shein, that refers to the teeth. Animals eat animal, one's animal eats someone else's produce. The hamave, v'hahever, and burning a fire which goes out of control and causes damage. These are the four that the Mishnah deals with. According to the Rabbi Shmuel, that's the only ones we are talking about. We're not talking here about person causing damage, and we're not talking about Karen as well. It's just these are the four that the Mishnah's enumerating. Most Mephoshim learn like Shmuel, and that's how we will learn. Says the Mishnah further, Loi hare hasher kahare amavet. Damages caused by one's ox are not like this, are not the same by the regel, by trampling, are not the same as damages caused by, or different characteristics of the damages caused by one's animals eating someone's produce. Nor is the property or the characteristics of animal causing damage by eating like the damage caused by regel, by the trampling. What Mishnah means by this is that if it would say only regel, damages caused by the feet, I wouldn't have known the damages of caused by one the animal eating. Why? Because I would have said that shoir, trampling, is common. It's common for animals to walk through paddocks. And therefore I would have said the Torah makes you chayv for that. But for shein, maybe not. Shein is less common to go around eating the other person's produce. And therefore, the Torah needs to say that. On the other hand, when it comes to an animal, one's property, eating someone else's produce, we could say that the Torah mentions that because, why is he chayv for that? Because his animal had benefit, had pleasure. It had anah from eating someone's produce, he's chayv. But when it comes to trampling, the animal might have caused damage, but he didn't get any anah out of it, so maybe you're not chayv. So the Torah needs to say both.
And
both of them, regel and shein, damage caused by trampling and damage caused by eating, are both coming from a beast that has a living, that's living and breathing, and not like fire, which is not a balchai, it's not a living, breathing thing. And therefore, if it would have only said shor shor and mave, I would have said that these things that a person's chai for, but not for fire. Fire is something that's inanimate, if you like. It's not an animal. So the Torah needs to say that. V'loi hari, kareish and racham, v'loi zebuzeh. And neither regal and shein and eish and fire, shadar g'nalech lahazek, which normally move, they are moving, feet of an animal move, the teeth of an animal move as it eats, as it goes, and the fire, of course, moves. And I would say that they are chayev, but they're not like kahari haboyer shein darkel elech lahazek. They're not like damage caused by a pit. If I dig a pit somewhere, it's stationary. The pit doesn't move. The thing that gets damaged or the person that gets damaged moves towards it. So maybe I would have thought maybe not chayev. So the Torah needs to write boyer as well. Hatzada shava shabahan. What's the common denominator of all of these four groups of damages? Shadarkan lahazik ul shmirosan alecha. That they can cause damage, they frequently cause damage, and it's up to you to protect others from damage. Ukshehizik chav amazik. And anyone who owns any of these things causes damage, he's chayv to pay for the damage. The one who made this, who owned the animal, who dug the pit, who made the fire, is chayv to pay. L'shalem tashlumei nezek v'meitav aretz. And if he's using real estate to pay the value of the damage, he has to use the top quality of real estate. So if it's $1,000 damage, he has to give $1,000 of the best of his properties. Even though he could give the same of cheaper properties, a larger quantity, no. The Nizik can insist in getting Meitav Aretz. And that's because the Torah says this. Meitav Sodeo or Meitav Karmi Shalom. The Torah says this. The best of his field he has to give as payment for damages. But only have to pay the best if he's using real estate. If he's using chattels, Metatlim, whatever he gives, he can give. So he can give money, he can give cash, he can give cereal, he can give anything. He can give straw or cement. As long as it equals the value of the damage, that's fine. It's only with land that he has to give the mate up the best. Mishnah base. Kol shechavti b'shmirasei. Anything for which I am chayiv to protect it, that it shouldn't cause damage. Hichshartis nizkai. I'm considered as making its damage, preparing the damage, if I didn't guard it properly. And I'm chayv to pay for it. The Gemara explains that this is talking about a case if he hands over his ox or his pit in charge of a person who is not mature, or a person who is a shoiter, cheresh of the cotton. Then the person, the owner of the ox who gave it to them, or the owner of that pit, is chayv, the one who made the pit, is chayv to pay. Here we have a machlokes in the Gemara as to what condition the ox was in. What condition was the pit in? According to Resh Lakish, he learns that even if the ox was tied very, very, very firmly and the pit was covered up properly, doesn't matter. If you give these things in the hands under the watch of a shecher shot of cotton, then it's likely these things are likely to happen. Because the cotton or the cheresh of the cotton can undo the cord that's holding the ox, or could have taken off the cover from the pit that you covered. That's one opinion. Another opinion, the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, who says, no, We would not hold the person responsible if he properly tied the ox, if he properly covered the pit. We're talking about a case where he didn't cover it properly, and because it wasn't done securely, and he relied on the shmira, the protection of a cher shel kov, that's why he's chayv. Hichshartim b'miktzas nizgoi, says the Mishnah further. What happens if I didn't prepare all of the damage? I prepared part of it. In other words, he had a pit. It was open in the Rishus HaRabim. I didn't dig it. It was only 9 tefachim deep, which is not enough to kill someone who falls there. But I dug the extra tefach, the extra handbreadth, which now made it 10 tefachim deep, which is the size, or which is the depth that is capable of killing someone who falls there. And an ox falls there, or a donkey falls there and dies. Even though I only dug the one tefach, doesn't matter. Chavti b'tashlumin kehechsher kol nizkoi. Says the Mishnah, I'm chayv to pay full damages as if I dug all the 10 tefachim. Now the Mishnah turns to what properties that cause damage a person will be chayv for, or what properties that were the object, that were the victim of the damage a person is chayv for, and also in what areas, what place is a person chayv for, where the damage took place, the locality. Says the Mishnah, Nechosim she'ein bahen me'ila. One condition for a person to be guilty or chayv to pay is that the property damaged has no me'ila. Me'ila means if it's hakdish property, if it's temple property, consecrated property, and a person uses this property for his own benefit, he's chayv to bring what's called a korban me'ila, a korban of trespassing. Now, any properties that you chayv to have a korban me'ila for, which means it's hakdish, if a person caused damage to that property, he's potted from paying. He doesn't have to pay. How do we know this? Because it says in the Torah, in Mishpatim, when an ox gores the ox of his friend, Re'ehu, from which we learn Re'ehu, his friend, but not an ox of Hektish. And the same thing applies to other damages as well. Now, is that applied to all Kodshim? Some say that it applies only to Kodshim Kodoshim, but not Kodshim Kalim. But Kodshim Kalim, a lighter form of Kodshim, where a person is able to eat the meat later on, like a Bechoyer or like a Meiser, Pesach. These things, there's no Me'ila when they're alive, and therefore a person would be Chayv. And if that's the case, our Mishnah would hold like Rabbi Yosef Galili, who holds that Kodshim Kalim is considered the owner's property because he has a stake in it. He can make a stake from it. He can have it after the right things have been taken from it. So because of that, since there's no me'ila applicable when they're alive, therefore that's not excluded, and their damages would be paid for that. So our Mishnah must be talking about kodesh kodashim then, or hakdash berak habayis. Nechosim shel b'nei bris. Another condition is that the properties that are damaged have to be owned by Jewish people, not of non-Jewish. If a person caused damage to an achosim of a non-Jew, of a Gentile, he's exempt from payment. Nechosim hamyuchadim. Another condition is that the properties have to be belonging to people. They have to be owned. And this excludes properties that are hafka, ownerless. Now, the Gemara explains that if at first glance it seems superfluous. Why does the Mishnah need to tell us that? Isn't it obvious? If it's got no owner, so who are you going to pay to? So the Gemara explains our Mishnah means even in a case where the properties that caused the damage, they have to be also owned by someone. But if it was Hefker, let's say, that caused the damage, an animal that was ownerless, no one owned it, and it went out and caused damage. And then came along Reuven and he says, oh, I see an animal that's Hefka, I'm going to go and acquire it. And he acquires it. And then someone takes him to court and says, hey, that animal caused damage. It did this and this and this damage. So Reuven can say, well, it did it before I acquired it. It was Hefka then. And Reuven will be exempt from payment. Similarly, the other way around, if you have an ox that was owned by someone that caused damage, and afterwards, the owners were mafkir it, let it loose, their potter as well. Because the animal had to have owners, had to be belonging, yuchodim, both at the time of the damage and the time when it's brought to judgment, when the person or the it brought up for the court for the damage that it did. Uvechol Mokay, says the Mishnah, wherever your property causes damage, you are chayv to pay. Chutz mirshus hamichadas lamazik, except if your ox enters someone else's property. If the ox, your ox enters someone else's property, and there it got damaged by that someone else's owner's ox, someone else's ox there, the person who owns that property. So, and the reason for that is because, let's say, Shimon's ox entered Reuven's property, and Reuven's ox gored it, or caused damage to it, then Reuven can say to Shimon, what's your ox doing in my property? You have no right to be in my property, so I'm not going to pay. Having said that, if Reuven himself damages and causes damage to the ox of Shimon, he has to pay. He's got permission to take it out of his property, but he has not got permission to go and intentionally cause damage to it. If it got damaged there, that's another thing. But you can't, Reuven himself can't go and damage someone else's ox, even if it trespasses and enters his property. Urshus hanizek v'hamazik. And furthermore, also excluded are the locality, if it's owned jointly by the one who was damaged, the victim, and the one who caused the damage. For example, if you have a chotzer or a yard that was owned by Reuven and Shimon in partnership, and the ox of one of those partners enters that yard and causes damage with shen or regal by eating or by trampling over things, the owner of the ox is exempt from payment. And this is learned from the pasuk, which says he sends his ox and it goes and eats in another man's field, sade acher. This is not a stay acher if it's jointly owned field. That's not acher. However, that's only if the chotzer was indeed reserved for oxen or animals to go there. If it was only, for example, reserved for fruits and not for oxen, and then one of the ox or one of the partners goes there and causes damage with its teeth or with its feet, then he would be chayv. Similarly, if the ox causes damage with an aggressive tactic, using its horn, using its keren, then even in a chotzer which is jointly owned, which is used for shvarim, for oxen, he'll be chayv as well to pay. And finally, says the Mishnah, uchshehizik chav hamazik l'shalem tashlum enezek v'nedevaretz. And when the animal caused damage, the owner of the animal has to pay the best of his real estate to compensate for the damages. Now, the Gemara explains that even though this seems to have been mentioned in the previous Mishnah, why does it repeat it here? And that is to tell us that even keren, which we did not mention in the previous Mishnah, keren is aggressive damage with the horn. And remember that, yes, in the previous Mishnah we learned, according to Shmuel, that shoyer does not include keren, it only includes regal. So therefore comes our Mishnah to tell us that even keren is also covered by this clause that if a person's ox causes damage with its horn, then the owner will have to pay with the best of his real estate if he uses land. Again, only if he uses land. If he's using chattel or cash or anything else other than land, he can use any quality to pay the damages.